second and final hour of the week. Welcome back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. This is the whole show. We're powered by PDC Energy. If you want to shoot us a text, you can on our First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. I'm talking about this Russell Wilson side of things. You know, we've been discussing Deshaun Watson at great length for sure, but Russell's been unusually outspoken about his desires for, you know, kind of his situation in Seattle. And now people are like, whoa, is Russell Wilson on the trading block? The Seahawks have now received calls at an increasing rate, according to NFL.com, about Russell Wilson. Now, again, Seattle's kind of said they don't really want to do anything like that. But Wilson's now coming out saying things like, man, I'm tired of getting hit. You know, he's entering the third year of a five-year contract, got an average of $35 million per year. This is the problem, though. Sometimes when you want to be that $30-plus million quarterback, then you have to be okay with, okay, I'm not, if I pay, let's just say I pay Bobby Wagner, middle linebacker, all right, I don't have a whole lot to pay the best right tackle, the best left tackle, or top five, even. This is what you have to be careful with. If Seattle was interested in doing this, if they realize maybe Russell's unhappy and we want to spread his contract out more and get back to creating a good defense and get back to running the ball more, they'd have to get Russell Wilson's approval. But he's wanting to be more involved. He wants to have a bigger voice. You know, he was the guy that got them to hire their new offensive coordinator at that point in time. Not new offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. He pushed for the Seahawks to add Antonio Brown last year before Brown went with the Bucks. And they obviously didn't go that route. I'll be really interested to see how this thing falls out. I mean, he's a hell of a player, but Seattle has been, you know, they're a play. That's the thing. Great quarterbacks are going to get you to be a playoff team for the most part. You know, you have a great quarterback, probably going to be good enough to win you 10 games. And that's, you know, at least based on the last time, you know, the 16-game season, that's going to be good enough to get you there. But I went over it. What are all these great high-paid quarterbacks ultimately getting you? Because if you want to win in the playoffs, long season, you're obviously going up against great teams that have either good defenses or top offenses. You know, look how far the Titans went. Ryan Tannehill is not elite, and they're running with Derrick Henry, perhaps one of the greatest running backs before our very eyes, but still, they're finding different ways. I think, Colfax, there's going to be this trend in the NFL, and it's not a trend. It'll be teams finding different ways to win. It was only 5 years ago the Broncos won with an elite defense. Tampa Bay won the Super Bowl. Sure, Tom's going to get all the hype because it's seven Super Bowls and he's NFL legend and all this stuff. But we all know that it was this defense that had Patrick Mahomes literally running all over the field. And not forward, like 500-some yards running around and behind the line of scrimmage. It was the defense that got him. I mean, even in the first quarter, when the Bucs go three and out, Tampa Bay puts up two, and then I think Bucs went three and out twice, and Tampa Bay put up a big stop early, and then they held him to a field goal. He's starting to build some confidence. And Tampa Bay took a little while to get going, and then once they did, it was over from there. But I think I'm curious to see how teams are really viewing this. And I know quarterback has been the talk. And that's the easy discussion to have, that it's just, oh, you got to have a top quarterback if you want a shot. And I'm not so sure anymore. I mean, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is that top quarterback, and you won a Super Bowl last year. He got there again this year. But you're not always just seeing. I mean, Nick Foles won a Super Bowl a few years ago. The backup on his own team. And look at him now. He's a backup on another team. He won a Super Bowl. So all this talk about, well, you got to have a great quarterback. You got to have the best quarterback in the game if you want to be successful, ultimately winning AFC and NFC championships. But if, you know, if when you look around at the teams that are winning, then it's you're starting to wonder. You're starting to, you know, you look again, the Philadelphia Eagles beat the Patriots with Nick Foles. And even the year before that, I mean, obviously the Patriots keep going, but it was the Broncos with a great defense. The Eagles were a stacked team, a really good defense. So the list just kind of goes on and on of these great teams that are getting it done. Now, again, last year, Kansas City is doing it with Patrick Mahomes and a hell of a lot of offense and great players. Before that, it's the Patriots. You know, fairly complete team with a great Tom Brady. All right, well, that's the anomaly. Tom Brady, that's why 7 Super Bowls is crazy. But I'm just not convinced right now that you go all in and you give up your future for Deshaun. I mean, the Texans were in the playoffs just a little over a year ago. They were there. They were beating Kansas City. And then Patrick Mahomes and company went off. So, yeah, I'm definitely of the mindset. And, you know, right off the bat, I'll admit, when I first started hearing that Deshaun Watson might be a guy that's available, I thought, holy cow, are you kidding me? Do the Broncos even have a shot? Deshaun's going to win a few extra games just being Deshaun coming to Denver. But those of you hooligans that are like, well, you bring Deshaun to Denver, and now all the free agents are going to start coming here instantly. I mean, what's that salary cap look like for you this year? You still got to secure Justin Simmons if that's still the plan. And if you don't, if the Broncos don't work out a deal with Justin Simmons, where does that leave your defense? Now, I know he hasn't won a lot either, but again, defense is much different than the quarterback side of things. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301, 478-1301. Mortgaging that future away, three first round picks, second rounder, third rounder, and a player. And all, you know, this idea that, well, look at the Broncos offense. Look at Denver's offense. I'm looking and I see a young offense that has some hope, but hasn't done anything yet. I do like that offensive line. Right tackle is an issue because Juwan James is, you know, he had issues before COVID, but he opted out after that. So I don't know what the future of that position looks like for Denver. I mean, you guys are just so quick to say, well, the talent. Houston doesn't have an elite receiver. Will Fuller, some would probably tell you that Will Fuller is better than anybody on the Broncos roster. I know he had the PED thing toward the end, but he's been pretty good over the last couple of years. So, I mean, I had him on my fantasy team, Colfax, so I would know. I just think that this idea that trade away your future, and you're going to have to throw a player in there. Probably going to throw Drew Lock in there, maybe two. You know, Drew Lock, Jerry Jeudy, KJ Hamler, Tim Patrick. Tim Patrick's a free agent. I mean, people are talking about, oh, look at them. We got Courtland Sutton, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy. Well, Tim Patrick's a free agent. Denver's not going to hold on to him. He played much better. He's going to be worth a lot more. I mean, maybe they will, but I'm not so sure about that. All right, 14 after the hour. We're going to catch up with Cody Rourke from Pro Football Network. Let's shift gears. Let's talk to him. Let's get his take on what that would look like. His thoughts on the quarterback process. And you know, I want to specifically dive into linebackers, both in free agency and in the draft. How high does he see the Broncos pushing for a linebacker? How much money does he think they'll spend? We'll talk to Cody coming up next. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Have the games. Go to 1310kfk.com to see our preps, college, and pro game schedules on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310kfka. The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310kfka.
This is Sefa Lufau, former Colorado Buffaloes quarterback, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310kfka.
We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city.
I love an 80s Friday, man. It's been a while since we've done one of these. They just don't make them like this anymore. They don't. Find a song that's like this. I mean, it's just crazy. It's fantastic. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, Cody Rourke. Cody, are you a fan of the 80s music, my man?
You know what? I tell you what, I was a 90s kid, man. I'm more of a 90s rock man, Metallica, though. So,
In fairness, yes, I am more of a rocker, but I'm blaming it on our hooligans, the listeners. They requested an 80s Friday, and we got to make the people happy, man. It's cold out there. We got to give them something
to
cheer for.
You can't go wrong. No, you can't go wrong, especially, you know, building the city on rock and roll, my friend. You can never go wrong with that.
Cody Rourke joining us from Pro Football Network, his Locked On NFL podcast. Man, love listening to him, love having him on this program. Cody, we're talking a lot about quarterbacks and all this Russell Wilson news, Deshaun Watson out there. I think you and I are kind of on the same page here, but I'm going over the list. I'm looking at all these high-paid quarterbacks, and I guess I'm still just a little skeptical because if you give up all these draft picks, if you give up, you know, a lot of first rounders, second, third, whatever, and then a player or two, I mean, you have to be really, really, really sure that Deshaun's going to come over here and I would say instantly make you a playoff team. And so I just feel like that price is crazy, especially for a first time, for a brand new GM for the Broncos.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, I was actually just talking about this with Ian Rappaport. The interview I just did with him is going to air on Monday.
Oh, wow.
But we talked about this whole situation. I asked him the question as to whether or not, you know, would it be beneficial for Denver to sell the farm for, you know, a player like Deshaun Watson, or, you know, would they be better off building a team around the quarterback and, you know, having a balanced team there? And he says, you know, you can really build it, you know, multiple ways. It's not just one way. You can have the approach that we saw Tampa Bay do, obviously, just playing efficient on offense, running the football well, and then also defensively just having the guys that can stop, you know, an athletic tight end like Travis Kelce, or, you know, being able to limit, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs by having a, you know, essentially a cover six scheme altogether. I think Denver defensively, Brady, they're not too far off, in my opinion. I think if they can show up maybe having a coverage linebacker that's versatile like a Levante David, Devin White, maybe Justin Sterna could be that guy. Maybe to look for that guy in this year's NFL draft. I think Denver's not too far away. Now, obviously, they have to address cornerback, but I think it's very doable with what Denver has right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I guess I look at teams, and I know I'm wrong about this sometimes on this side of it, but I say, hey, what unit do you have that can get close to top five? If it's defense, are they a top five against the run? Are they top five against the pass? I mean, we've seen that in the last few years. I mean, look at Tampa Bay. They were really good against the run. They find a way to slow down Patrick Mahomes and send him running. And yeah, Tom Brady was good. But Tampa Bay's defense, they were aggressive this whole year. And so we see teams winning and getting, you know, Tennessee's becoming a better team, and that's based off of a great run team. So I think you're exactly right. There are different ways to do it, and my fear is, all right, Denver, you're a five-win team trading away all these future assets for a guy to come in here. Like I said, you have to be really comfortable with the fact that Deshaun can instantly change this organization almost overnight.
Yeah, you know, he definitely would add the star element, and the talent that Denver has offensively would be great, but here's the deal. In order to get Watson, you have to part ways with some of that young talent. I mean, if for in fact the Detroit Lions wanted Jerry Jeudy involved in that trade, if Denver was going to trade for Matthew Stafford, I mean, Denver, they don't want to part with their young talent. Offense has been an issue for them since Peyton Manning retired. Heck, even in 2015, offense was an issue. But if you could have balance altogether offensively, and this is where Tennessee came up short in the playoffs, they couldn't run the ball with Derrick Henry. And they were stymied by that Baltimore Ravens team. And we just saw, you know, everybody else just dominate you know, Baltimore after that. But you have to have the ability to run the ball. You have to make good decisions on the offensive side with your quarterback. And I think Denver has the skilled players to do it. Now, if they can get a quarterback that can make great decisions, if Drew Lock becomes that guy, Denver's in good hands there. Outside of that defensively, look, I think Denver has the personnel to be able to do it, because when you look at how Patrick Mahomes played this year against Denver, he had some of his worst performances of the season. Denver did that. Denver provided a little bit of a blueprint out there, and Tampa Bay actually emulated a little bit of what Vic Fangio did in that matchup on Sunday Night Football. So, you know, the NFL is a copycat league. We see all these teams. Green Bay is looking for a defensive guy who can implement Vic Fangio's defense. That's literally the report that's being put out there, because they believe that is the blueprint to the, you know, stopping and slowing down these high explosive offenses, which what we have seen so far tends to be true.
We're talking to Cody Rourke of Pro Football Network. And on that side of things, on the defensive side of the ball, you said it. I mean, maybe a cornerback away, maybe a cornerback, a linebacker, couple of pieces here and there, and maybe you get this unit to the point where, okay, they were good with Vic Fangio's scheme. Now you have the tools. Now you have the guys that Vic looks at and says, all right, this guy fits perfectly. And so here we are going into that third year. I think it's setting up nicely for Vic to handpick guys that will fit his system almost perfectly.
Yeah, you know, and Vic, it's going to be a big year for Vic. Vic's going to have to win here in 2021 in order to, you know, have leverage to keep his job going into next season. And I think Vic understands that. You know, defensively, we saw Denver compete last year despite the fact that they have so many significant injuries. Now, granted, before Mike Purcell went out with an injury, Shelby Harris got injured, Denver was one of the top rushing defenses in the NFL. They were top four altogether against the run. The moment those guys got hurt, their ranking dropped significantly. I mean, we saw how they were without them. And Denver in the passing secondary, you know, Michael Ojemudia is coming back into the fold. The plan right now is that Justin Simmons will get a long-term contract. That's what George Payton is building towards. Kareem Jackson, the team could, you know, pick up his option and ask him to restructure his deal a little bit, which I think is going to be very likely. And then they just have to address the cornerback on the other side of the field. Bryce Callahan is going to be fully healthy, but he's going to be playing in the nickel. And the Broncos have Duke Dawson, and they'll have a Sing Bassey inside the nickel and dime packages as well. But they need another cornerback on the outside. I imagine they're going to pursue a veteran guy. Patrick Peterson could become available. Keep an eye on Xavier Rhodes from the Indianapolis Colts with his former ties to George Payton. He had a bounce-back year in 2020 with Indianapolis, and I think he'd be a great fit in Vic's scheme. And Denver doesn't need a true, legitimate lockdown guy because those guys, in my opinion, I don't think they exist anymore in the nature that they did 7 years ago. I think that really how the offensive game has evolved, you have to have cornerbacks that can at least keep up, make plays when you need them to, really a bend but not break mentality. And we saw that in the Super Bowl. We've seen that with Denver this year when they were healthy in the secondary, and it paid off for them. But I think Vic's going to have a fun year. I think Von Miller is going to be back. I think he and Bradley Chubb are going to have a monster year together.
Cody, when you say, you're talking about the cornerback side, and I definitely want to follow up on the Simmons, on the Von Miller, but on the cornerback side of things, so if the Broncos pursue in free agency more like a Patrick Peterson, Xavier Rhodes, do you see them then using that ninth pick for something else, maybe even a linebacker?
Yeah, you know, I absolutely do. You know, the person I've kind of highlighted right now is Micah Parsons. Mm. But, you know, Denver's going to have to do some research on him. You know, obviously there's some character concerns, some red flags that happened when he was in college that they're going to have to interview him. He's going to have to prove to them that he's matured from that situation. And, you know, hazing is not something to be taken lightly. But at the end of the day, yeah, I think they have to address that. They are going to extend a second-round tender on Alexander Johnson. He'll be back. But they're looking to have, you know, a certain scheme and packages to have one of those cover backers. I think that's going to be a big priority, and I think that's what they're going to go with in round number one. Or, you know what, they could trade back and maybe go for a guy like Zaven Collins, that linebacker as well. That's certainly a possibility.
Yeah, oh, interesting there for sure. I'm looking at cornerback. Linebacker would be great, too. I'm not going to argue either way. So with that being said, Cody, in your conversation with Ian Rapoport as well, we're hearing different reports that the Broncos might be front runners. Maybe they're one of the teams that Deshaun wants. Is there truth to that? And do you see, does Ian see that the Broncos would actually be players in this?
Well, he said that he wouldn't be surprised if Denver did make a run at Deshaun Watson if he was available. However, the Houston Texans organization right now, they are coming out and they are telling teams that he is not available for trade. We're not trading him. You're wasting your time. Mm. And so there is a legitimate chance that Deshaun Watson sits out this season. I mean, I could see it possibly happening. Now, it's going to hurt him in the pocketbook a little bit. Anytime you're losing money, it's never a good day. But the Houston Texans, they're willing to be they're willing to play strong on ball right here because he just signed a massive extension. It's different than what they did with J.J. Watt releasing him today. J.J. had 1 year left on his contract in comparison to Watson, who just signed a lot of money to his deal. So it doesn't make too much sense for them to part ways with Watson just yet. They don't want to, and more than likely they're going to hold out. And if worst comes to worst, there may be a point where Houston says, all right, look, we're not getting anywhere. We're going to have to trade him. But as of right now, he's not available for trade. And Denver is not in on Carson Wentz, according to what Ian Rapoport had told me here today. He says he doesn't get the sense that Denver is involved in those talks. However, if a quarterback like Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson were to be made available for trade, he expects Denver to call and inquire and potentially pursue.
I'm curious. I don't know if you've heard of the show American Pickers, Cody, but I'm wondering if this is Houston saying, hey, what's the, okay, if Denver calls and say, okay, what's the, I'm not going to trade him price. And that seems like, man, that could be incredible. I mean, realistically, I know you and I have talked about it, but after seeing Matthew Stafford's deal, what are we talking about here? If Houston's saying no, then that to me only leads me to believe that the price is just going up literally by the day.
Yes, it is. And Denver, I mean, obviously you start with three first-round picks, a couple of seconds, and maybe a third. And then you're parting ways with players as well. So apparently Houston wants some young defensive players. The guys I can think of right now would be Bradley Chubb and Draymond Jones for the Broncos. I don't think Denver is at a point they want to part ways with them. Von Miller's up there in age. Bradley Chubb was drafted to be the eventual successor, in a sense, opposite of him. They're not going to trade those guys. They really like Draymond Jones, who's become a very, very under-the-radar player for the Broncos in his last two seasons. Denver would just essentially be parting ways with too much. So if you give up three first-round picks, you give up a couple of seconds, just think about that. That's five players right there that could potentially be steals. They could be stars in the NFL. They could be franchise building blocks that you're giving up for essentially just one player. And at the end of the day, I think it's too much. I think it's King's ransom, and I am saying no.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, my friend. All right, going back to Von Miller, Justin Simmons, you're thinking both those guys going to be in Broncos uniforms next season.
I do, yes, absolutely. I think there was some traction to it. Ian Rappaport, he and I talked today, he said Denver wants Von Miller back. Von wants to be back in Denver. Now it's just a matter about negotiating the contract, or obviously with the club option, maybe potentially restructuring some of the money there. But as of right now, the expectation and the traction is that Denver will be back with Justin Simmons and Von Miller in 2021.
Hey, that's good news on both sides. I mean, I'd like to see Von Miller back. Ultimately, I'd like to see him finish his career with the Broncos. And like you said, I'd like to see this Bradley Chubb-Von Miller thing really, really take hold. I feel like we haven't got to see that at its best because Bradley Chubb's injuries and then, of course, Von Miller this year. So I'd be excited to see that.
We only got to see it for 1 year. Yeah. I mean, the fact that when Bradley Chubb was a rookie, they were the top pass rushing duo in the NFL. We just haven't got to see that yet under Vic's system, but I imagine it can get there.
All right, back to the linebacker side, Cody. As we talked about, maybe the Broncos are players in the free agents or in the draft side of it, maybe even as soon as nine, or like you said, maybe trade around and see what you can get. But what about free agency? There's not a ton, it doesn't seem like, of inside linebackers that are going to be out there in the market.
Not really. I mean, Lavonte David is going to be the most sought-after candidate, but you know what? He's more than likely going to end up back in Tampa Bay. He wants to run it back. They have a very strong defense. I imagine for them, Shaquille Barrett will not be back in Tampa Bay. He wants to get paid big-time money, and I just don't think Tampa Bay can afford it. But outside of that, yeah, Denver's not going to be really in a market in free agency, in my opinion, to really have an inside backer that's going to give them the element that what we saw, the Denver Broncos needing. So I imagine that they're going to focus on in-house guys like Alexander Johnson, and then from that point, they're going to look at the NFL draft. But they also have a guy on roster that we haven't seen yet, but I'm telling people, do not sleep on Justin Sternett. He is the guy that has the capability of being an athletic inside backer. He's had a whole entire year to be in the position rooms, the meeting rooms, and also with the position coaches, learning the defensive scheme, and he's very cerebral in that regard, and he has the tools to be that. So, if Denver believes they have a guy there in Sternett, you may see them just go best player available approach in the NFL draft.
Outstanding stuff from you, Cody, as always. Can we find that conversation that you had with Ian Rappaport, and what else do you have cooking for us that we can check out?
Yeah, absolutely. So the interview with Ian Rappaport, it goes live on Locked On Broncos for Monday's episode on your favorite podcast provider. Plus, this evening I'm going to be sitting down with Broncos outside linebacker Malik Reed, and he'll also be on the show for next week as well.
Yeah, I love it, man. Great work. Appreciate all the hard work you put into these, and we're highly entertained by them and informed, and we'll look to catch up with you down the road, my friend.
Thanks, Brady. I appreciate you.
All right, man. Cody Rourke of Pro Football Network, and talk to Malik Reed. How about that? Star-studded cast there. Ian Rappaport and all those great insiders. It's not happening, man. Again, thanks to Cody for helping us clear that out. I know with a lot of news today saying the Broncos might be there. You willing to give up Bradley Chubb? You willing to give up three first-round picks? You willing to give up two second-round picks? You willing to give up a third-round pick? That's a lot, man. That is a lot. You drafted Chubb at number five just a few years ago. And I don't see it happening. It doesn't look realistic. All right, 33 minutes after the hour. Let's jump out here and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
We have, well, that was a special request, a little Def Leppard there, from the arch nemesis of the show. Dixon has returned after a week off the grid, licking his wounds. No doubt, he's back. I'm glad, you know, I'm glad. There's Susan and Cheryl. How boring would Batman, you know, the second movie, The Dark Knight, how boring would that movie be if the Joker wasn't in it?
Unwatchable.
No, yeah, you just have Batman running around going, what do I got to do? And there's nobody to fight. So
this week has felt a little empty, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, without
Dixon.
You have to have the arch nemesis of the show. I mean, you have to. Yeah, he sent a gif of Brady drinking his beer Saturday. Whew, it's going to be cold. Tomorrow, I'm doing it, Cole. I'm not backing down, man.
Good for you.
I'm going Sweetheart City Racing, doing this great. It's a great cause, too. And, you know, this particular race, they're going to give back to local high schools, middle schools, whatever. And they're running teams, like track teams and even club teams, things like that. So I appreciate that. You know me. I don't care if you play baseball, basketball, football, whatever you do. I just think it's important for kids to have some kind of activity just outside of the classroom, you know, where maybe it's sports, maybe it's the chess club, something, band, running, sports, or football, I don't care, as long as you're doing something. But it's good to have Dixon back. What'd you think of Cody Rourke's chat, man? I mean, he's pretty adamant. He was talking to Ian Rappaport, of course, with NFL Network, and it does not, to me, sound. Now, that report we played earlier from Jeremy Fowler sounded a lot like, okay, well, the Broncos are a favorite for Deshaun. Well, according to Ian Rappaport, it's Houston's still standing by it. They're not trading Deshaun Watson. But even if they do, that is a high price. You know, all those draft picks.
Now, I just want to throw this out there, and, you know, I'll probably be wrong on it, but we're assuming that that's the price, but earlier on, when this whole Deshaun Watson thing came out, we were talking about how it's up to him. If he wants to go somewhere, Houston might have to take a little hit.
Yeah, because if they could do the Carson Palmer thing, and, you know, ultimately Deshaun can just retire, basically, semi-retire.
Right.
But that, if you're Houston, would you rather have this amazing asset not going to play for anybody? Would you rather do that and say, all right, fine, if he's not going to play for us, he's not playing for anybody, and lose out on this king's ransom that you were going to get? I mean, if at the end of the day, it comes down to Deshaun saying, fine, I'm not playing. But that's a Houston move. I could see them doing that, too.
And then I guess that would be in the details, but would they still owe him some money, Houston, to sit out?
Yeah, he'd lose out on, I can't remember, I had that information up, but he would lose out on a lot of money. Yeah,
right.
Quite a bit.
Right.
He has some of his that's in his contract for the guarantee and all that, but yeah, he'd lose out on a lot of money. But it's a very similar situation as Carson Palmer. You know, he sat out, he wanted to be traded. Cincinnati said absolutely not. He sat out until like October into the season, and finally Cincinnati's like, you know what? So essentially, Carson won the standoff, and Cincinnati traded. And I think they traded, Oakland traded a couple first round picks for him. So, I mean, that's Carson Palmer. So they ended up getting rid of Carson. Carson was happy, and they got what they wanted at least with the first round picks. So, I mean, it's a very similar situation because the no trade clause is basically the player can keep away from that. You know, the player is protected in a no-trade clause, just like Russell Wilson is a no-trade clause. But if the team comes out, and the team and the player can agree, then they can do that. But it mainly protects the player. So he can sign the contract, it's stability for his family, whatever, and so it's okay, I know I'm going to be here. But if he says he wants out, okay, well, that diminishes that. However, the team still has the power to trade him. They own his contract. So if he wants out bad enough, then basically Houston would have to determine, is having no Deshaun Watson in the league at all better than trading him to somebody that could be a competitor in the AFC and getting this king ransom, which I think most of us, common sense, would say, no, you need to trade him. If you can't mend the fence, which doesn't sound like you're going to, then you have to trade him. You know, they keep saying, we're not doing it. Maybe they're driving up the price, but they're saying stop calling. That's what Cody just told us, is that they're saying stop calling. McClain says, right now, Rockies fans can relate with Texans fans. I mean, it's not that far-fetched. You didn't get anything for Nolan, really. I'm not, like, trying to belittle players, but you didn't.
What if they pay Denver to take up Watson? Are you okay with that move?
Yeah, right? They give that's what it would be. They give us Watson, and we give them, like five guys that were on the practice squad last year. And then they also give us $50 million to help us pay Deshaun Watson's contract off a little bit easier. Yeah, that's what that would be like.
There we go.
Essentially. At the end of the day, you know, this is going to be groundbreaking, whatever happens. You know, Houston is in full-on rebuild mode. They just agreed to release J.J. Watt. I mean, J.J. wanted out. And, I mean, he's their most beloved player. He's their guy. He's their first Ring of Famer, if whatever they have there in Houston. So this team is in a complete overhaul. So, I mean, if I was Houston, I'm trading him off. There's no point in fighting, because now I'm walking on eggshells for the rest of his time in Houston, and I got to run everything by him. Do you think it's a bad thing that now you got Russell Wilson, which I have all the respect in the world for him, all the respect in the world for Deshaun, but now you have these players that, and again, the teams have always had control. It's just the way it is. Now you have Russell Wilson and you have Deshaun Watson. Whatever Watson or Wilson said has now, the NFL is now calling Seattle asking for, is it a scary thing to, now that these quarterbacks are really starting to speak up and essentially say, hey, I want out, or fix this team and let me be a part of it, or I want out. I mean, in one end, you can kind of say, I like the buy-in from superstar players.
Yeah, I just think it's inevitable. I mean, yeah, the way leagues and contracts are set up, like,
I mean, we take care of quarterbacks better than anybody, man. I mean, the league changed its rules to keep these guys safer.
What I don't like about it is how that mentality trickles down to college and high school sports.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
which we're seeing.
You're seeing it.
Yeah.
It's inevitable. I mean, you just said it. It's you see players that look at that, and it's kind of the same thing as contracts. And it's like, wow. And now, especially with this whole paid for their likeness, which again, I've always agreed with. But if you're a player that's like, you know what, I don't know that I'm going to make it here. I don't know that I like the coach. I might have a better endorsement deal over there. And again, that's going to be tough to combat, but I can see that happening. Yeah, it's going to trickle down. And in some cases, I like the transfer portal, and in some cases, I don't. It's not cut and dry for me. In this case, Deshaun Watson being disgruntled is going to change it's changed the entire offseason. I mean, Stafford was traded, and look at what that did. That's Matt Stafford. He's not a Hall of Famer. And I don't know if Deshaun is. Someday he might be, but right now, if he retired today, I would not say he's a Hall of Famer. Really good, but he's not. So I just, Houston would be stupid to hang on to him. I mean, you're going to get something. Somebody's going to give up that. Somebody's going to trade that. Somebody will give up 3 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, 1 third-round pick, and a player. Somebody will do it. The question is who. 48 minutes after the hour, we're going to wrap up the show on the other side. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll get to my closing thoughts and what's on the tube tonight. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
But often we'll
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the block party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going, 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 tough, tough. When the going gets tough.
What is this one?
It's your man, Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean. Ooh, I do like Billy Ocean. Oh, that's smooth right there.
When the going gets tough.
Oh, yeah. All right. Yeah. That's good.
This will be your theme song tomorrow.
Yeah. It's going to be cold. I gotta pipe in some pumped up music, man. It's gonna be so cold tomorrow. And I'm not a runner. I've been trying. It's 4 miles. That's not a lot, is it?
It's more than I'd ever run.
I keep telling myself it's not gonna be much, but we'll see. It's gonna be a beautiful run, like if it wasn't cold.
There's going to be lots of people out there in solidarity, right?
I think so. I would imagine. You know, part of me wanted to talk our friend Shane, who and his wife, of course, run Sweetheart City Racing. It's like, oh, I already paid, man. Can we just call it good? But I got to go, man. I'm doing this thing. I'm very excited about it. I hope our hooligans, I'm going to take some video and stuff tomorrow, too, on my journey. So I do hope our hooligans will look at this and think about, like, joining me, because I'm going to try to do this a lot, quite a bit with Sweetheart City Racing.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get involved. And I love they do so many give backs too. So, I mean, they take a portion, and these are great local people in the community. They take a portion of the proceeds every single race, which they do basically once a month. And it goes to a good cause of some kind. And, you know, in this case, it's going out to for anything that can help youth, give them the tools needed to join clubs and teams and whatever. I'm all for that. Love it. I think it's so important. It was important for me, and I just think it's amazing. So I'm excited about Sweetheart City Racing tomorrow, 2:30. I'll be out there. If you guys, last-minute registrations, go to sweetheartcityracing.com, and or maybe at least, you know, consider the next race. It's going to get, from here on out, it's just going to get warmer, right? Can't get any colder.
It's only going up from here.
It's only going up from here. Although, well, I think it's going to get, like, colder Sunday, no. And then it goes up
then,
from
okay,
there.
Yeah, that's
there,
the last one.
There you go. All right, Colfax, it was fun today, man. We had a great time talking about, well, Deshaun Watson kind of got heavy into that. Cody Rourke is a sensational interview always. Colorado Buffalo's taking care of Stanford. MVP talk, man. It's hard not to say LeBron James, Joel Embiid right now. Joker has the numbers, doesn't have the wins. Got to get more of those. Hopefully that starts again tonight, 7 o'clock tonight. Denver taking on OKC. Reminder, Colorado and Cal play Saturday night on ESPNU at 8 o'clock. And then, we don't have CSU, we don't have UNC, but we do have Nuggets tonight, 7 o'clock. That's going to do it for us. Good night, Northern Colorado.